Hello and welcome back to In the Know, brought to you by The Racing Post and our brand new partner Boyle Sports, here for 2026. The more things change though, the more things stay the same as we are gearing up for Cheltenham Trials Day tomorrow, which will then lead us into some thoughts, I'm sure, for the DRF. And then, hey, that Cheltenham word will be coming back around as well. So there's plenty to get excited about. I don't know about you, but being a flat fan, it's been very strange to actually really, really enjoy this National Hunt season. Last weekend was a cracker jack, and we've got a bit of Cheltenham and a bit of Doncaster tomorrow as well. We'll be covering mainly the TV races, slightly smaller fields for the big graded action on Saturday, but there's plenty of betting action elsewhere, and I'm sure we'll find an angle or two as well. But hopefully most of you have made the journey from last year over to this, and we are, as ever, live and interactive. So make sure you like the stream, get involved in the chat as well. Hello to everyone who has joined us for the first time this year. William Harwood, Eden, Charlie Kite, Neil Mecham, Romping Home, Brian Galt, Scotty Rudds, and everyone else. And again, welcome to our new sponsors, Boyle Sports. So lovely stuff. We've got plenty of offers for them coming up as we go. But 2026, we're already the best part of 3 weeks in. How has your year gone so far? How's your look? How are you feeling? Let us know in the chat. We're going to be going all the way up to the Cheltenham Festival, a bit of Irish Grand National, and then all the way to Aintree as well, and then a little break for the flat. So if you are getting involved tonight, click on the link below in the description to have a look at those Boyle Sports offers. Like I said, we are in partnership with them for the jump season 2026, and you can sign up using the link in the description. Deposit £10, you get £40 in free bets for every new customer involved at Boyle Sports clicking that link. And also, best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples on UK and Irish racing as well. And don't forget as well, you also get a free bet if you're waiting for that text to change. No, it's not going to. Okay, fair enough. You get your money back, in fact, second to SP5. That's what I was expecting to come up there, but it didn't. But there you go, plenty of offers to have a look at back down below. Anyway, plenty of other things to talk about, but let's get a few things out of the way. First off, by saying, welcome to 2026, Paul Keighley.
Thanks, mate, but how dare you declare yourself a flat fan right in the middle of January? What's going on with it?
Yeah, but it was a caveat. It was me saying normally at this point.
Yeah, so in other words, you're normally moaning about the jumps at this stage of the season.
I'm normally Googling when do the clocks change.
Yeah.
By this point, but I'm actually really into it.
Mm, I am too. Some cracking races tomorrow.
What's been your highlights since I last spoke to you?
Anything? What happened since you last spoke to me?
When was our last?
I don't know. Christmas has happened and all
exactly
sorts, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Can't say I've had many, to be honest.
No, you almost had a good day today.
Almost had a good day today, but it's always been almost.
Almost. No, yeah.
Hopefully, I've knocked the door down soon, but I've been knocking on it.
All right, I'm going to put a quick smile on your face because I did order these for Christmas, but they didn't come through for the festive free. So let's get these out of the way.
I'm going to wear something again, am I?
No, absolutely not. just a little Christmas present for you. I thought you. Here you go, little present.
Oh, right, you know, from one mug to another, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah,
yeah.
Superb.
Like that.
Thanks, mate.
Do you want to
Oscar nominee. There you go.
Sir Paul Keighley, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you can't read it, can you? Because he's printed on the wrong colour.
I got one for you, I got one for G-Rod, I got one for Robbie. I got one for everyone who comes into the studio to join us for the show, which means I didn't get one for you, Tom Siegel.
Oh no, I'm gutted, Ross. I was so wanted an Oscar nominee cup.
Yeah, look, I'll send you one. I'll send you one specifically to your house. If you just put your address in the comments below, and we'll get involved.
Okay.
But okay. 2026 then, Tom. How's it been?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, not so bad so far. Things will change surely soon, but so far so good.
Yeah, I messaged you last week after your 20-1 shot at Windsor, the first price wise tip that went off bigger than it was when you smashed it in.
Was it? I thought it was about 25s when I did it, but I can never tell because the prices seem to change every. I don't know when my price is when it's. You know what I mean? I don't know when the cutoff point is. So
yeah,
who knows? Who knows? But yeah, it was nice. That was nice, and the big gamble one on Haydock was nice too. So. Yeah, not so bad so far.
Yeah,
surprisingly.
Yeah, there you go. Lovely stuff. Long may it continue. Before we get stuck into the weekend's action, let's rattle through a few talking points over the past week or two. Firstly, you say about a flat fan. It's amazing, Tom, isn't it? Everyone moans about the ill weather, then suddenly Constitution Hill wants to run on the sand at Southall, and everyone's, oh, they can't get enough of the stuff. Oh, thank God for this all-weather surface. What an absolute godsend. It'll be there next month, on Friday Night Lights. Are you going to go along, and what do you think of it? Are you suddenly an all-weather convert now?
You know the answer to both those questions, Ross, but I'll answer them just for you anyway. No, I will not be going to the Friday Night Lights as much as I want to. My daughter might go. She's quite into it. So maybe she'll go. But no, I won't be going to that. And do I like the all-weather racing? No, I haven't watched any all-weather racing for many a year, as you well know.
Will you watch Constitution Hill?
I will have to watch Constitution Hill because he will be part and parcel of every question that I'm asked from now until the Cheltenham Festival. So, yes, I will watch, but whether I watch it live, it's a different matter. There might be some football or something on at that time. But, listen.
We can answer that question now, can't we? What does it mean to his chances of winning another Champion Hurdle? Absolutely nothing. That's it. That's done that, haven't we? Finished.
Do you not think, though, there's a potential... Does he not think that... Is there a possibility that all Constitution Hill needs is a nice experience for once? Is it possible that not tipping up over hurdles actually might
No, you've overcomplicated it already. He needs to not jump hurdles. As soon as he sees one, he'll panic again, won't he?
But it might be sort of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. He might run around Suttle and
then... Yeah, but then the next time he goes up one in the champion, he'll go, oh, what's this?
Oh, you think it might get worse?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough, okay. What about the... the other Hendo potential superstar. Again, the thing with the anti-postmark is we'll get into that a little bit later in the month, of course, as we gear up towards at Cheltenham. But it's amazing how fickle these markets are, Kiels. Because we were saying before Christmas, everyone went mad for My Daddy Paddy, for example. He gets beat. Suddenly that form's worthless. No one really wanted Old Park Star even when he bolted up at Cheltenham, but then he bolts up again and suddenly everyone's
watching. I mean plenty of people did want him, I think. I mean, I wasn't one of them. I'm one of those people that has to see another run to have it confirmed. I mean, he's absolutely in pole position now, isn't he? He still hasn't quite reached what a 10-year average for winning the Supreme would do, but he's in, you know, he's done the most at the moment.
Yeah, but again, is that not... He's a very short price because he's the only one.
Yeah, I mean, he's still only beaten a couple of horses, isn't he? A couple of worthwhile horses. There's loads of other horses out there. It looks like it's still going to be a competitive race. I wouldn't say anything's a certainty by, you know, at the moment, which is why he's 5-2 and not, you know, 5-4 at evens or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? He's still, you know, prices says he's got 28% chance of winning. He's not a good thing by any stretch of the imagination, but he's the one in the right position. He's done the most.
Yeah. And again, I mean, that is exactly what happened with Constitution Hill, isn't it, Tom? Where he did a fantastic time when he won his novice, and everyone went, crikey, what's this horse? But we want to see it again. And then, of course, he did win at Sandown and did it again. So almost an identical profile, different tracks, but an identical profile in terms of, you know, impressive first time out, but everyone needs another run to convince them, and then suddenly everyone's on board.
Yeah, it's very similar to Constitution Hill, actually, because in Constitution Hill's year... There wasn't a stat. I mean, Min was running, wasn't it? Was it Min?
No.
No, it was John Bond, wasn't it?
John Bond and Dysart Dynamo.
Willie Mullins didn't have a standout horse, did he, in against him? And this year looks pretty much the same. I mean, I know people are saying the DRF's to come, but if you look at the entries for the DRF for the 2-mile hurdle, it's hard to, you know, Willie Mullins hasn't got one at the top of the market at the moment. He might have on the day, but at the moment it's hard, you know, you've got El Kairos from Gordon Elliott, and you've got Talk the Talk from Joseph O'Brien, and you've got Skylight Hustle. It's finding the Willie Mullins horse that's going to sort of parachute in is pretty hard at the moment.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, it might be a similar situation where Constitution Hill was brilliant, but it did find a pretty, not a great year. I mean, John Bonham was obviously good, but he's not unbeatable over hurdles. And I'm wondering whether that might be the case with Old Park Superstar or whatever he's called now this time. It could be, couldn't it? Because, you know, El Kairos might be good, but is he how good is he? I mean, he was only fifth in the bumper, and Talk the Talk looked good as well, but We'll see you in Dublin next week. I presume, Keels, you off there?
I am, mate. Yes, looking forward to it.
Good.
Yeah. Well, that's my next question. What are we looking forward to most? Apart from, obviously,
I'm looking forward to Romeo Culio downing one of the Mullins big guns. Don't care which one it is, which race he runs in. I will be backing him because he won't be Fav.
There's a little love affair developing between you and Romeo. And Culio,
I love him. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Is it because partly because everyone keeps poo-pooing him that...
Yeah, so poor old Rob keeps running into these horses, etc. But, you know, the best bumper horse isn't always the best hurdler. The best novice hurdler isn't always the best novice chaser. And, you know, I think now's his time.
Yeah,
love the way he jumps. Really economical and quick and just travels well and like him.
The very epitome of anything over hurdles as a bonus because he's taken the fences.
He's taken so well to them.
Yeah.
Heels, question for you.
Go on.
Question for you. Mm. What price he runs in the Ryanair?
Oh, I don't know.
Surely not.
I don't know. Listen.
I think he'll run in the Ryanair.
I think there's every chance he will. But if he runs a 2 mile next week and wins, they're gonna find it hard not to. And given the ground's gonna be absolutely bottomless next week, I think that's where he'll end up running. And I think it'll be very hard to beat if it is.
Okay.
I think he'll end up in the Ryanair, you see.
Oh, he could do. I mean, I haven't backed him for anything because I genuinely don't know where he'd go.
Yeah, that's the, again, that's...
If you think about it, you know, people bang on about novices. You know, he's had 3 runs over fences, will be 4 at Leopardstown. Mm. The Jukebox Man had 3 runs over fences, less than Romeo Culio had when he went into the King George. Coney Gree had 3 runs when he won the, over fences when he won the Gold. I mean, he'll have had 1 more run. It's not beyond the realm of possibility. People are saying he won't run, he's a novice, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think that's the right trip for him.
His jumping won't get...
probably the worst race.
His jumping won't get found out either, will it?
No. And it's probably the worst race at the moment. It's got Factor Farlin, but,
I was just talking about this just outside the office. My unpopular opinion is that Factor Files, but he's won one race. He's got beaten 7 or 8 times. He won the Ryanair last year, but it was a bad Ryanair last year, and it might be.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's my thinking. Because if you go to the Dublin Racing, you've got Lou Lamba, you've got Final Demand. You might not be scared off by Factor File these days.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, if you beat Hartwood by 9 lengths anywhere, you wouldn't be that excited about it, would you?
No.
Yeah. The horse, or anywhere else.
The novice hurdle I'm sort of got an eye on next week, if he runs, is Sortudo, who I think is very interesting. Again, you're saying about the Mullins standouts, but I think, the Supreme might not be on his... necessarily on his dance card, but I do think that Sortudo just ran into a nice horse who... nip from the front, they've taken out their hurdles. He looks a thorough galloper, so I think he could.
Well, the big talking horse from the mileage yard the other week was the horse that's not even at the DOF, isn't it? And that was Mighty Park. But where he goes is another matter, isn't it? Because he's been backed obviously for both. Mm. He's a 3/4 brother to Might Bite. Looks like a big galloper to me, but the words before the race going around everywhere, everybody asked, does anyone know anything about this horse? Everyone's saying this is Mullins Supreme horse.
Yeah, but I mean, and you might be right, but
I still backed him for both just in case.
Well, he the race he won a couple of years ago, I can't remember which horse it was now, but whatever horse it was went to Nace and then went to Punchestown, I think. So
Tully Hill.
I can't remember exactly. I'm going to have a quick look now. This is some terrible TV. We could do with like a do-do-do-do-do. Be back soon sort of thing, shouldn't we? Was it Mirazur West? It might have been Mirazur West a few years ago. Broke his maiden tug at Fairy House. Sorry, then went to Nace. Then went to Fairy House for the Grade 2 at the back end of March, and then went to Punchestown for the Grade 1. So...
I'm thinking
that could be the path. He was also a JP.
If he doesn't go to Cheltenham, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, if he doesn't go to Cheltenham, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but Tully Hill won his maiden in January and then went to the Punchestown listed hurdle and then went off favourite for the Supreme.
Yeah, and how did that go?
He got dipped by Huxley still.
Yeah.
And about seven others.
Yeah. So Tommy Hill, yeah, he's a fucking, supreme favourite. And is he, I'm not even sure he's won a race since, has he? Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, we've only got 11 races to get through.
Yes, fair enough. Anyway, so yeah, the DRF coming up next week, we'll be covering that in detail. But let's have a look. Scotty Rudd's looking forward to Cocktail Divan, wherever he runs in March. Factor Filers of Cheltenham Specialist says Tommy Daniels, he'll be spot on come the spring. And Brian Galt says, have it all on Jaguar and then have it all on again. And Vinny Napscomp says, Manila Yoga. So lovely stuff. Right, let's crack on then and start off at Doncaster with the 12:55. Again, there's loads of action on Saturday. The River Don Novices Hurdle is a Grade 2 contest over 3 miles. Rocking Man, 9-2 favourite. Carl Emmerich, 5-1. The Devil You Know, 5-1. Kick or La, 11-2. The Price of Peace at 6. Country Code at 7s. And 14-1, bar those. This is a proper... a little novice hurdle, isn't it? With 9-2 the field, at least 4 or 5 horses who come into this off the back of very impressive wins. The Rocking Man, who beat Carl Emmerich, but Carl Emmerich was given a quiet ride and then he came out and won next time out. We've got an Irish Raider in The Devil You Know, who knows what to expect from Kick or La. Ben Pauling can do no wrong at the moment. The Price of Peace looks like he'll relish 3 miles. And I love a Jefferson novice hurdle, and Country Code looks very good at Kelso as well. So this is a good race, Keels.
It's potentially a good race. There could be some really nice stayers in here. It's hard to form a really, really strong opinion, given there's form lines all over the place. My only strong opinion earlier in the week was that Carl Emmerich was a bad price as favourite, given he had to carry a penalty. And none of his form is... Yeah, it's no better on Racing Post figures anyway than a lot of the others.
Yeah.
I came down on the side of Country Code of Ruth Jefferson's.
Yep.
You know, when you come out with these lines, if he was in a different stable, it'd be a shorter price. And everyone says, oh, well, he isn't in a different stable. Like, you know, he's in that stable. Like, you know what I mean? But the point I'd make is that there are small trainers who are very capable of training a decent horse if they get one. It's just their chances of actually getting one aren't very good these days because, you know, all the money is elsewhere. And I think she might have stumbled across a pretty decent horse here. He was sourced by Derek O'Connor. And I just love the way he went at Kelso. He jumps arrow straight. He bolted up then. He absolutely flew the last, was, you know, perfect. Jumped it like a 2 miler, really. And was eased down straight away. You know what I mean? I know it's not the longest running in the world at Kelso, but it was literally, let's jump this and then stop riding.
You've done your job.
And even though he was eased down, they weren't closing on him. Yeah. You know what I mean? I thought he had an absolute ton in hand. It might not have been the best race in the world, but I just thought he was a very promising horse. And Jefferson won the race 2 years ago with Kerry Hill. I think this one shapes as though he might be better.
Yeah. Ruth Jefferson's 1-1 in this with Kerry Hill. Malcolm Jefferson was 2-3 in this, won it with Cape Tribulation.
There you go. It's James Bone's first ride for the yard as well.
Yeah. And Ruth Jefferson, Class 1 novice hurdles, she's 3-7. So again, like you said, when she's got a good horse... She knows where to position them. But like I said, she's had 7 decent novice hurdlers in, what, 5, 6, 7 years, rather than 7 a season.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, I really liked him. The time was fantastic. He'll definitely stay. The ground was soft at Kelso, and it looked very testing there today at Doncaster. I don't want any suspect stayers on Town Moor tomorrow, Tom.
No. Well, the thing is, who knows which one of these are going to stay? It's been totally different to running around in, you know, we've seen this loads of time. Now with the hour won this, didn't he, a few years ago? Mm. And he took off and left horses like Haiti Calore. Haiti Calore didn't look like he stayed in this when he ran in it, for example, because you just don't know at this stage of this, are they strong enough? Are they, you know, mentally up for the game? So it's a little bit of a guessing game, as Keel said. I do like his Country Code. I thought that had a chance, but the two I ended up on were something Trump might say, The Price of Peace, because I just like Rebecca Curtis in staying hurdles. She won the Stayers Hurdle, Liz Nagar Oscar. She won the Albert Bartlett at Fisher's Cross, obviously Haiti Calore. She's very, very good with staying stayers, full stop. And I liked The Price of Peace a lot at Chepstow. I thought he'd like it. It was a bit like Country Code that he jumped really well. He's won his point to point on soft or heavy ground. Just looked, there was a whiff of Haiti Calore about him, put it like that. And I just thought he just could make that massive step forward. The other one I thought, it's just too big a price for me. Now, he does come with stamina queries about him, but The Last Cloud for me has the best form. and it because of his third to Idaho Sun in the grade one Formby. And I thought he kept at it really well. He wasn't getting distanced by those two at all, Idaho Sun and My Daddy Paddy, who would be much faster horses on pedigree than him. The last cloud's by Cloudings. Now that's many clouds. That's Cloudy Lane. That's all those stayers that we, over the years, that have just been, you know, long, slow staying horses. Brian Hughes is on. No one rides Doncaster better than Brian Hughes. I just thought if he got the trip, and on pedigree he should, because he's related to Senior Chief, who won a three, who's a staying chaser for Henry de Pomhead. He's by Cloudings. He could go well at a big price, and those were my two. You could make a case for any of them on the line on the thing there, but it was just a nice shape of a race for someone like me to have a bet in, because it is a 9-2 the field rather than looking at Cheltenham and, you know, trying to get one of those good things beaten. So I went for the price of peace and the last cloud, but I certainly wouldn't put anyone off Country Code or any of them, to be honest.
Okay. Plenty of opinions there then. Let's have a look. Country Code and The Last Cloud are Tom Leach's each way punts. Welcome to the team, Tom. We're all in agreement for this. Si Tyson said, appreciate the streams and the tips, lads. Thank you, Si. Nice of you to say so. I'll send you your quid later. What else have we got as well? Country Code from E2 says, Richie Rich Rich. So, I think he might be the nap tomorrow, Country Code. Get out of the way early. Anyway, let's rattle on over to Cheltenham, shall we, for the 1:15 contest. Handicap chase here over 2.5 miles. And Jaguar is 2-1 favourite here. Booster Bob is at 7-2. Javert Hélène is in at 11-2. Prairie Wolf is in at 11-1. And 12-1 bar those here for this this handicap chase. Again, another 2.5 mile handicap chase round at Cheltenham. One of... How many is it through the season? Four? Five, maybe? Anyway, plenty of them. I'm looking at Gales like he's got the answer on the top of his head, but he hasn't.
It's a ton of them, isn't there?
But Jaguar, 2-1 here, at Tom, for this race. Now, he was supposed to run a few weeks ago, at the start of the season. He skipped that. He then came and finished third to Glen Gooley in a slightly strange race, in the sense that I think if you ran that race again 100 times and change tactics and change jockey and all this other stuff, I'm not entirely sure the winner would ever win again. But everything else in behind has come out and franked the form. It was just one of those races. But Jaguar should have, would have, could have won. And a lot of people are saying this is, you know, your next grade one spring horse in a handicap. But you're not getting Rich back in him.
That's exactly it, isn't it? You know, he's up in the weights. He's 2-1. On what I think is going to be very, very testing ground. That'll be fine for him, but it's just, you know, he's got to jump better than he did last time. He's got to jump better than he's done any time probably to win off this race. I'm not convinced that 2-1 is type of... It's just, listen, I understand all these guys in there on their naps having Jaguar as their nap because he's such a promising horse, but he's not my type of horse at 2-1 in any race. No horse would be. You know, at 2-1 in a handicap round Cheltenham in bad ground. So that's all, like, you know, nothing against him, but he wouldn't be for me. Booster Bob looks too short as well. I thought Javert Hélène is very interesting if he stays the trip. There's a good chance he will on pedigree. Whether his style of racing will allow him to stay the trip is the sort of, I don't know. Prairie Wolf just has got a chance, but I quite like Uncle Bert in this, actually.
Okay.
I just think that if the ground is what I think it's going to be, he'll be suited by it most of any of them. I think he'll love the heavy ground. He ran in the boys race, the Martin Pipe, last year and flew home. He was eighth or ninth, but he was in front of Electric Mason and some horses that have come out and franked the form. I think that's turned out to be a pretty good race. And I just liked him at Aintree, and you can just throw out the Welsh National form. He ballooned the first, got out of rhythm, too far, ground wrong. I just thought at the prices, if he got a positive ride, I think Javert Hélène will probably make the running, but I think Uncle Bert won't be too far off. And just if the ground's as testing as I think it might be, I think he just might outstay them. But obviously Jaguar's the form horse and the one the most likely to win it. 2-1, it's no for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised if Uncle Bert wasn't ridden prominently. I mean, he normally is. He stays further. It's a track, obviously, and a C and D, particularly this 2.5 mile, that suits ball jumping front runners as well. So it'd be a bit mad to hold him up for a run. But yeah, Jaguar 2-1 then here at Kiehl's again. Vincenzo has come out and franked the form. Imperial Saints come out and franked the form. I mean, it's a separate question. If you did think flat or jumps, you think this is a Grade 2, Grade 1 horse, Group 2, Group 1 horse, in a handicap of, you know, 149 as Jaguar is today. If you genuinely think that, then would you back a horse at 2-1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I don't have a hard and fast rule. I don't particularly like backing short. Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
But I try to avoid it most of the time. You know, largely the reason I'm not very good at it. When I tend to have a lump on short ones, all the ones I remember are the ones that have lost.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, the pain adds up after all. I think, now, why do I do that? I have much more fun back in 16 and 12 and 10 at one shots.
So basically what you're saying, the pain isn't worth the pleasure that you get when you're right.
Yeah, the pain isn't worth the pleasure to have a lump of me, but it's you know, there's no rules. There's no reason that you shouldn't back a horse at 2-1 if you think it should be way shorter.
Yeah.
You know, there's value everywhere, isn't there? It just depends on what you're comfortable with.
That said, being in these races, as we saw with Glenn Gooley, being the best horse in a Cheltenham 2.5 mile handicap
doesn't always work out. No, I think he should have won that, and I think his trainers both think that he is a potential Grade 1 horse. I mean, they've said this is like, you know, a Ryanair trial. I can't believe Team McManus believes that, to be honest, because, you know, if Nicky Henderson's thinking of running John Bond in there against Factor 5, why would you want a third string to your bow? And yeah. I think this horse will get 3 miles standing on his head. In fact, I'm pretty certain that's what he wants nowadays anyway. Obviously, this is going to be a test. I have backed him for the Ultima, so I'd rather he got beat.
Yeah.
Then smashed his mark up completely, because, you know, but there is the potential for him. If he's as good as they think he is, he has got the potential to smash these up, hasn't he?
But you think he might be the Johnny Who of this season?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But I could have that badly wrong, and he'll end up going to the Ryanair and win that as well. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I didn't quite see that much in him first time out, but it was first time out against race fit horses, and, you know, he's very much the one to beat. Tom went for the one that definitely stays. And, you know, might want even more of a test than it is in Uncle Bert, and I've gone for the one that might not stay, but if he does, is very, very well handicapped, and that's Javert Allen.
Okay.
I just love his two runs this year. The first run against Mambo number 5, I mean, what a race that was. I mean, that's a, you know, in terms of working out, it's worked out way better than the December Gold Cup, for instance. Mambo number 5 won it. He's 18 pound higher now. He's an Arkle outsider. Highlands Legacy won at Windsor the other day, having been second the time after he ran there. He was second. He'll be at least 10 pound higher than he ran there. Mm-hmm. Glenn Gooley won the December Gold Cup. He's 13 pound higher. Georges Devasion has now won 3 times, I think, because he won today, didn't he?
Yeah, won today.
He's won 3 times on the pot, and I think that today's win was off a mark 12, 13 pound higher than then.
And in Alcedo, who finished last, one next time out as well.
Yeah, exactly. And in there, in fourth place, ahead of Georges Devasion, was Javert Allen, running off 1.27. He's 1.28 now. He did get beat at Newbury, and he did get, you know, caught having made the running. But the thing about horses when they step up in trip, sometimes they get outpaced. When they're running, when you think a horse doesn't stay or he gets caught, you know, it's not because they haven't stayed, it's because they're getting outpaced, and I'm hoping this is it. He's bred for the trip. He's a half-brother to a winner over 2 mile, 5.5 on soft ground, in the same yard. And the lead is for the taking. I mean, if Kieran Geffens can get him to settle in front and just pop away and not go too hard on a horse that's probably used to going faster, then I think he's got a right chance. Got a very low weight as well. And yeah, I quite fancy him. If he stays, I think he'd go very close.
All right.
To upsetting. He's getting a lot of weight off the winner, £21.
11-2 then, Javert Allen. The two at bigger prices who I thought might, again, it's not my type of race to back anything in, really. Especially when you do think that.
Because there's about 16 fences to jump, and you wish they were all taken out, you flat fiend. You.
Look, again, you know you were saying about the pain not being worth the
trouble.
You were going to call me then. But, engrave it on a mug.
Absolutely.
Send me a mug with that on. Look, you were saying about the pain not being worth the pleasure. For me, back in the handicap chasers, the pain isn't worth the pleasure, but the pain is them jumping off and me thinking, well, my bet's lost because you're eighth in a 12-runner field, and or they're making one mistake and you're thinking, for me, you just can't get anything wrong in these races. Whereas I feel, I love a bet in a big field handicap hurdle because I feel the there's less that can go wrong and the quality sort of rises to the top.
And there, in essence, Ross, is why I would never back a chaser at 2-1.
Yeah.
In a handicap chase, I just don't do it. I know Keels is right. There's plenty that win, and plenty should be. He could be. Maybe should be shorter than that. But I just don't do it because I think it's not about form. It's about rhythm. It's about getting things right. And if you can't guarantee that a horse is going to get things right, why do you want to take a short price about him?
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, it's very rare. Even, you know, again, take your horse last week in that Lingfield that Windsor, handicap hurdle. Go to what, you know. There wasn't an unlucky story in there. The horse made, you know, the winner made all. The Lavelle horse looked like it was going to come and win, but got out battled. There wasn't anything in behind. I thought Ludor ran its race. Everything in that race, I thought, ran its race, and was beaten fair and square. Whereas there'll be at least three or four horses in this tomorrow, Tom, that either make a shuddering mistake and end up pulling up, or get hampered by a faller, or just end up, you know, jumping off two lengths behind. And it again. There's so many, right? The pain ain't worth the pleasure for me. But I love watching them. I'm going to absolutely love watching this. And I kind of hope Triple Trade runs a big race, watching-wise. I mean, again, he looked like, when he was running on behind David Slett, well, like he wanted this trip. He proved that at Sandown last time out. He's an absolute dab hand round here. I think Connections of Jaguar would be a bit disappointed if they got beat by a 10-year-old Triple Trade, Tom. But, you know, rock-solid course form, stays the trip, will handle the conditions. I think he'll run a big race.
Yeah. I mean, it's loads. You know, as you just pointed out, it's going to be all about who's in the right place, who jumps the best. That's what these chases are about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a Triple Trade, you're pretty guaranteed you know what you're going to get from him. You know, it's just whether he can, you know, he's good enough at the age of 10 to beat these horses. I personally doubt it. But at least you know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's go back to Doncaster, shall we, for the Grade 2, the Mare's Hurdle, the Yorkshire Rose, here with Feet of a Dancer at 9-4, Jatara 11-4, Dream on Baby 9-2, That'll Do Moss is 9-2. It's 8-1 La Vida Adiva and 14-1 Bar Those here for the Yorkshire Rose Mare's Hurdle. And Irish Raiders dominating the betting here, with Feet of a Dancer at 9-4 and Jatara 11-4 coming over for a crack. Obviously, the first place to start is last year's winner. In fact, I'll come to you first, Tom, for this. No, I'll come to you, Keels. For last year's winner, Jatara, not only because she's the best horse in this race, not only she's defending champ, but she also represents a yard who've also won this race 2 years on the bounce in the past. So clearly, this is, you know, her seasonal target, and then she'll go on and run really, really well elsewhere like she did last year.
Yeah, she could do. She could do, yeah. I wonder whether she wants an absolute bog at 3 miles. It was good at softball, they were going good last year, I think, at Doncaster. And a lot of the best form was on slightly better ground. That would worry me a little bit about her. And I just think Feet of a Dancer is the one that's improving, isn't she? She's won two absolute blinders this year, absolutely gagged up on every ground. First time out in a listed race at Punchestown, and then only found Woodoo too good last time. She was staying on when fourth in the Potemps final last year.
Yep.
So I think she get it really strongly. I think she's a well worthy favourite.
Yeah. Again, it seems again, back in we were talking about the back in 2-1 shots in handicap chasers. There is something in the back of my mind, but I can't remember last time I saw a Paul Nolan horse at 9-4 and thought, oh yeah, I'm all over that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I can't remember last time I backed a winner of a mare's race, to be honest. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not very good at these little ones. You know, I remember thinking some of Skelton's was a certainty earlier in the season, and it went from about 6-4 to 5-1 and finished tailed off. So,
well, so with that in mind, that race was the one won by La Vida Adiva.
It was, yes.
Who looked better and better the further she went, I thought. I mean, again, I can't remember last time I had a Ruth Jetherson double, but I might be having a little each way double. I thought she'll handle conditions, she'll stay the trip. It looked like they turned into the home straight, like two or three were sort of snapping at her heels coming in, but you know, jumping the lash, she was going away it again. Yeah, she beat Malta Bene, who's run well since behind Panic Attack, and she's 1-2-3-1 over 3 miles. The two defeats were at Ayr, when she got going too late, but this big galloping straight suits her right down to the ground.
Yeah, it certainly seemed to suit her last time. She's got to make a quite a big step up on what she's done.
Yeah,
but you know, these are the sort of races where you get silly results.
Well, she had £15 to find Makatira last time out.
Exactly. Yeah,
on ratings. So. Mm. What do you make of it, Tom?
Not much. You've got a lot of races to look at for tomorrow. This is one I didn't really have a good feel for. I'm a big feat of a dancer fan. I backed her for the Cheltenham Festival last year, and to be honest, I thought she got a pretty moderate ride. She was given set so much. It wasn't really the jockey's fault, because that's the way she was ridden in the thing, and it was one of those per tempses where the ones up front didn't really come back, whereas often they do, and nothing really went right for her, which is why she got way behind and stayed on really strong. I don't think 3 miles will be a problem. Like you say, whether she's a 9-4 shot, I'm not sure. Always wary of Emmett Mullins, Dream On Baby. I did think right down the bottom there, Pottersville is not a complete no-hoper. She was really impressive. Was it at Exeter 2 starts ago? And then Windsor was just all against her, it looked like. I don't really like making excuses for horses because of the track when they are beaten 50 lengths, but she is 33-1. So I thought she might outrun those odds. But deep down, I think feet of the dancer will win this.
Yeah, my worry about Pottersville is that it's just one of those profiles, you know, bolts up, beaten half the track, clearly something amiss. Bolts up, beaten half the track, clearly something amiss I mean, I guess you're backing 33-1, aren't you? So you
33-1, that's the point, isn't it? You know, you pay your money, you take your chance. Yeah. She's got last time, if she runs like she did last time, she'll finish tailed off.
But yeah, like I said, yeah, if you are taking a nice price to possibly find out. Jatara without the favourite is a fantastic price, says Bobs will be Bobs. James Day says, I think Feet of a Dancer is going the Coral Cup, Ross. Not sure she'll be winning with that. Not sure she'll be winning with that in mind. Yes, I mean, it's possible. Yeah, actually, to be fair, that she did have a sort of a profile going into the Potemps last year that was the end target. So maybe that could be the angle here. I mean, to be fair, there's probably no better way to hit your mark slightly down keels than get beaten by horses who are rated lower than you in a graded race. That might get a couple of pounds off the bet.
Yeah, it could do.
If we're talking conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. I think she'll win.
All right, fair enough. Right, back to Cheltenham we go then, for the 150 contest, otherwise known as the Cross Country. Extra places with Boyle Sports tomorrow for the Cross Country. So you can have an extra, you can have a fifth place each way, which might be quite tempting, given it's a very top-heavy market and a lot of horses who could get in the mix at double-figure prices. Jean-Yves Delest is sort of how you pronounce it, at 7-4 for Emmett Mullins and Donna Myler in the saddle. Final orders at 7-2, meeting once again at this track. We've also got the third from that race, Ikeo Madrick, at 7-1, and the fourth from that race, Plasnet, at 8-1. So it's 10-1 bar as well for this cross country Keels. Not your sort of race, but
it's not. But I have had a bet, funny enough.
Okay.
So I mean, I haven't gone mad, but I got the impression that this isn't as competitive as the numbers suggest.
All right.
I just think there's. I mean, it's a dangerous thing to say. There's a lot of dross down the bottom end, but I think there might be. And last month's race is probably key. Now, Final Orders won that race. But I don't think he wants to go around soft like it is. I think it suits the second and the fourth much more. Obviously, Jean-Yves Delest is the short price favourite and probably deserves to be. But Plasnet made an absolute howler at the third last. An absolute howler. And was still staying on at the end. Got a string of good runs on bad ground in Ireland. Was winning over 2.6 miles at the age of 5 as well. And was, you know, staying on well. I think that'll run well. Sam Twiston Davis has booked. Somebody called me the other day and told me that they tried to get James Reevely to ride it. There's some reason he couldn't. He might be injured, I'm not sure. Suggested to me that that's the top one out of the two. It just interested me. I don't think there's that many. Favre de Champ do, I'm sure he's already fallen here. I reckon I wouldn't mind betting he's having another look. for the actual one in March.
Yeah.
And you know, these two horses are really low in the weight. Shariv de Lest and Placenet. If Stumptown runs, he won the festival race in March last year of 157. So he's going to be 160 something. So these two, unless they pull miles clear on their own, you know, this is their Gold Cup as well, because they're either not getting in or they're going to be miles out of the handicap with no chance.
Okay.
So I think one of those two will win it, and I've backed Placenet each way.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. It's almost an obvious sort of. Finds itself, it's an obvious bet, isn't it? In the sense of like, this horse would have definitely finished closer if he hadn't ploughed through the third last.
Yeah, and he likes soft ground.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. What about you, Tom? This is, you love a bit of cross country, don't you?
I do, but I didn't find anything in this. I got the place that I get Keels. I thought the ones at the top had a very solid chance, especially the Emmett Mullins horse, because I thought he made a bit of a howler too. But listen, once again, he's very short, so I wouldn't go anywhere near him. The one I thought had a price was Unanswered Prayers for Chris Gordon. I haven't backed him. I might back him tomorrow. He was, I think he finished a place behind, or a couple of places behind Placenet last time. He just was never put in the race. He was last the whole way round, and I thought he took to it really nicely. The Gordon horses are running really well this season, soft ground stays, so maybe him, but it's not a race I've had a look at. I would, if the ground had been better, I would have been very interested in some scope. Richard Hobson's had a few horses run well in the cross-country races before. She'd name a few others that have run really well in it, and it's interesting that he's come here, but I think it might just be too soft for him. But he was back to form last time. Did have a visor on, which is not on this time, which is, I don't know whether that's because they thought he might not stay or not. But he's got a lot of ability, that horse, and he's still young. He's still only 8, whereas some of these are getting on a bit. So, listen, it's not a race I've had a bet in. If I was to have a bet, it would probably be Unanswered Prayers, but I will probably be at Reading by then watching Barnsley beat us.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, plenty of Unanswered Prayers when you go and watch Reading, isn't there?
Actually, they could beat you, and then they could beat you. They could kick off before the start of the cross country and finish before the end of it.
Yeah, exactly. You could go and watch it at half time. Watch the finish at half time.
Yeah, they could. You could probably have a football, or do the opposite. Have a football match in the middle of the cross country course at Cheltenham. You know, something for everyone, then, can't we? Something for everyone. There are a couple of bigger prices. Late night passes down to a nice mark, like soft ground. I'm interested to see, because Tommy Bow hasn't run over this C&D since he ran out when sent off favourite, what, about 18 months ago. So I'm intrigued that they're having another go with him, because he's. He developed a bit of a following, didn't he, when he started on that winning run? But he's clearly a few sandwiches short of a picnic. But that's what you get for the cross country. And lovely, maybe have a picnic while you're watching it. Who knows? But as for the chat, Final Orders wants better grounds. Emmett Milne's favourite wins, as Dom Leach. I do like French winners, so Alan Keane. And Ikeo Magic for Horse Racing Stories. That's the cross country 150 at Cheltenham. 5 places on offer with Boyle Sports. Lovely stuff. Right, rattling on then to the next contest over at Doncaster. It is the Great Yorkshire Chase. It is a 3-mile handicap chase around Doncaster. It's always an absolute banger of a race. Only the 10 runners, but plenty of interest and plenty of horses in form. None more so than Grand Jest, who made a mockery of his mark out at Haydock last time out in very testing ground. Deep Cave in at 9-2, who keeps winning when he looks like he's not going to win, which I think is a sign of a progressive horse. Doncaster specialist Doc Pickney, 6-1. Walking on Air, who very nearly landed a bit of a touch in this contest last year, is 15-2. Josh the Boss is 8-1, and Dartmoor Pirate 10. So yeah, I love a 3-mile. Again, handicap chase, not to say my betting medium, but 3 miles around Doncaster again, the Yorkshire blood pumping through it means I have to enjoy this, Tom, and you do as well. You've had some good, some decent luck in these kind of races over the years. What did you like this time?
Yeah, I like the Great Yorkshire Chase. One of my races. Well, it's a bit different this time, isn't it? Because it's soft, heavy in places at Doncaster, and there's a bit more rain forecast. What happens is that trainers, because it's an early closing race, trainers put their good ground horses into these races. That's why we've only got 10 this year, because they're expecting the ground to be all right up at Doncaster. and you end up now we end up with a whole load of quite a few horses in here that would surely prefer better ground. And so of the 10, there aren't that many that I think are going to really appreciate the conditions. Grand Chest is definitely one of them. You know, he's got to have a good chance. Jumps really well. The only thing I'd say is that the Tommy Whittle last time was he was beating Marathon Chasers, wasn't he? He was beating My Silver Lining and horses like that. And he's £10 higher in the weights against faster horses this time. And he might have Doc Pick Me right on his tail or, you know, on his or in front of him. From the word go. So listen, these are the same reasoning we got for I would have for all these staying chases and all chases. Is I don't want to be at the head of the market. I just don't because, you know, one as Ross pointed out, one mistake, you're out the game. You miss the break, you're out the game. Deep Cave, I'm just not sure about him. I thought he was a bit lucky to win the other day.
I don't know. I'm in the opposite. I don't necessarily bet in them, but. When he won at Bangor, I thought, crikey, where's this horse come from? Again, you don't see horses close in those kind of races and win like he did.
And then at Ascot... You can't keep doing it, can you? It's so hard to do.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the thing, so there's the devil and angel on my shoulder. One is saying you keep winning, you know, in spite of how the race is unfolding, which means you're clearly a very talented horse and still a well-handicapped horse because he's only gone up £6 for those two wins. On the other shoulder is... your luck's going to run out at some point.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's just, I don't know. It's just hard to do. Doc Pick Me, he's one of my favourite horses. I backed him last year at a huge price to win this race, and he got a bit lucky probably, but it was better ground then. I'm just not convinced about him on very testing ground. He might be all right. Walking on Air clearly could have won last year and clearly can win this year. I just don't know what type of form he's in. You know, he was 50-1 on the morning of the race last year. He's 7-15-2 now. So I don't know. He's a very, very possible winner. I just don't know. Josh the Bosch, I think, has got a chance. But I like Dartmoor Pirate a bit just because I'm a bit of an anti-Anthony Honeyball groupie in this type of race. He's got a very, very good record in this type of race. We've had, you know, the Badger Beer he's won. He nearly won the Ascot race with a horse that was second to... wasn't it? Was that his? I think it was, wasn't it? Leave of Absence. That was his, wasn't it, to Deep Cave? He had a horse runner.
Forward Plan, I think, won this. Well, not won this, but he won the other one, didn't he? Won the Sky Bet Chase, didn't he, I think?
But he was beaten a short head in this by Annual Invictus. A horse ran at Kempton the other day that I thought had no chance and was looked like he was going to win, beat Doyen Quest and for a long way round. So I just like his style of... Yeah. Just chases with him over 3 miles. So I just thought Dartmoor Pirate's had 3 runs over fences. He was a decent hurdler. He was placed in the EBF final 1 year. He's had 3 runs over fences. He looked like he was wearing diving boots on the first one. Looked like he couldn't jump. Wasn't much better at Chepstow at the start of the season, but he was miles better at Lingfield last time and he jumped really well.
Yeah.
If he gets into a rhythm, and that is an if with him because he's the least experienced of these horses by a mile. Just wondered if he was the one with the upside. And so I at a double-figure price, I went for him.
And Sam Brown, of course, was Anthony Hannibal. Proper staying chaser. What about you for the Great Yorkshire Chase, your soft southerner?
Faye Bramley fan club again. I'm going for Walking On Air. Obviously, he was trained by Gary Brown last year. He fell at the last, but he would have won. Pretty sure he would have won then. Hasn't done anything 2 starts for Faye Bramley since, but no tongue tie first time out this season. First time cheek pieces, second time out this season. There's your explanation for the improvement in form that everyone's expecting. I think he'll go very. He's clearly well enough handicapped. Two of his 3 best pieces of form have been on soft ground. One went 5th in a Potemps final over hurdles, and one went 2nd to Henry's Friend. These are a couple of years ago, to be fair. Henry's Friend in the Mandarin, but Henry's Friend was about £20 load, and he is now. I think if he's right and ready. Then 8-1 is perfectly fair. There is a chance, like Tom said, that he has completely gone. I did have a very good look at Dartmoor Pirate when I was doing the weekend or a Monday night, and I think one of the only reasons I slung him out is because he was entered somewhere else as well, and Walking On Air wasn't. So, but he was also a much bigger price then, so Tom's clearly ruined it. So he's got a chance. I've always been a fan of Josh the Boss, but Willie Twiston Davis told me he does need. they do think he wants really good ground.
Okay.
Like, you know, so I wouldn't be that interested in him.
I mean, he slogged through the mud here back in November, though, didn't he? Although, obviously, that was over a significantly shorter trip.
Yeah, I think he might. He might struggle, but they were pretty keen on him having better ground.
Okay. What do you make of Deep Cave? Because I think there's a potential
I think it's tough. The thing about these Christian Williams horses, when they get on a roll, particularly the chasers, they do keep finding that bit more, don't they? So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he won.
Same ownership as Win My Wings, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I have my, you know, like Tom, I have my reservations about Grand Geste simply on the grounds that he was beating proper old plodders. I mean, My Silver Lining was tailed off and didn't finish at Lingfield the other day.
He outspeeded it. I thought Jack's Parrot was unlucky in that race as well.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's going into against a better class of horse off a higher mark, you know, faster type of horse off a higher mark.
Okay. And also the Smith and Parkinson horses were in, they had an insane run, didn't they, for a few weeks, and it's possible.
Oh yeah, they couldn't have a loser. One from 14 now, it was only the other day though, so who knows.
All right, there you go, there's the great Yorkshire Chase then. Let's leave God's County, shall we, and go back to Cheltenham for the Cotswold Chase. Grey Dawning 8-13, Spillane's Tower is 7-2, Lompresse is 9-2, and Florian Porter at 12-1. Again, a small field here because it's going to be quite a bit of a test, isn't it, in the conditions by the looks of things. And Grey Dawning, who again, after what happened last season, as soon as he won at Haydock, everyone said, "Oh, is he going to bounce? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do exactly what he did last year?" And struggled to confirm that form for the rest of the season. But he's older, he's stronger. And the yard are a bit smarter, Keels, as well, I feel. And let's be honest, if he's not beating Spillane's Tower, Lompresse and Florian Porter, then, you know, he's probably not as good as he's looked. However, it's going to be a right old slog round here in soft ground, isn't it?
It's going to be a slog. I think he'll stay fine, to be honest.
Yeah.
Fitness worries me. Remember just a few years ago with Protector, he was a short price favourite. I think he went on 5-4 and just didn't get home, and then he went a blinder in the Gold Cup, which is how ready is he for it. He's been a drifter. Dan Skelton does say if it goes heavy, then we are out. So he will be having a look at the first few races, I'd have thought, to see exactly what it's like.
And do you think the club of the course of Cheltenham will change it to heavy?
He won't change it to heavy. I mean, you could have literally 100 mil of rain tonight and it'll still be soft heavy in places, because they don't like the word heavy there. They don't like it first anyway. So, but Skelton will make his own view about what it is, and that may be the reason he's on the drift. But yeah, when you say if he can't beat, I mean, Spillane's Tower's only rated £2 off him, and he's getting six, so, you know, officially on his best form. But that's a long while ago now. It seems that second to Factor File with Galloping Deschamps behind him, didn't it? Like, you know, he did show a little bit more over hurdles last time. He did at least run on at the end, but it's still, like, you know, it's 14 months since he ran anything like a race that'd be anywhere near good enough to win this. So, you know,
why the two hurdles runs?
I have absolutely no idea. He must have had his issues. You know, the first one may have been, you know, I think the first one was the first one of prep for the King George, and then he couldn't get to the King George. I don't know.
Because I mean, obviously, whenever you see that, especially with a Manor's horse, you immediately think, you know, Grand National or something like that. Because you know, what was Nick Rocket wasn't far off. Was he 163, 164 last year?
Yeah, no, he was it might be 163 in the end, yeah. He was 161 when he won the Bobby Joe, I think, so it might be 161. But
I am Maximus, obviously a grade one horse. I mean, is there a potential that this is just a tee up for that?
I mean, yeah, it could be. It could be going that way. But why would you run him over hurdles when you could at least have a go at getting his mark down? You know what I mean? Because his chase mark isn't going to change, is it?
Well, I guess it depends. You know? It's not necessarily the getting the mark down. It's just not going.
Yeah, I know.
But
I mean, he's got to be. You know, what do you need? £8-10 in hand to win a national these days. So he's got to be a 170 horse. Don't think he is. And he's got to prove he stays that trip. So no, I wouldn't. I'd be surprised if that's the plan.
Right.
Don't rule out Lompresse. He's got no issues on the ground, has he? Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, he's a good old warrior of a horse, isn't he? And, you know, for a horse I didn't think stayed that well initially when in the Gold Cup. He didn't have Raw home the other day. I know he was beaten a fair way, but I always thought Blazed Away was massively well handicapped. So I think he's, you know, he's almost as good as he was. So if there are any chinks in his armour. You know, I think Long Press will find him out. Florian Porter might go hard enough as well, because he's just a natural front runner, isn't he, to make it a test. So, no, it's an interesting race. More interesting than I thought it was. You know, Great Dawning was 4-9, Andy Post.
Yeah.
8-11 in place.
The ground has clearly...
Yeah, I don't think he's got any issues with the ground.
Himself. I think it's more the... I mean,
again, I'm not convinced that he's got a lack of stamina. I think he'd have won that bottomless ground race against Royal Pagoda last season if he hadn't belted the last. I mean,
that's you're a minority in that opinion. I think that the general
Everyone else is wrong, obviously.
Well, yeah. I agree with you.
So you're not wrong.
It's me and you against the world. But in terms of moving markets, if the general opinion is he doesn't want a bottomless slog over 3 mile plus in soft ground,
it doesn't worry me.
No, it doesn't. No, it clearly doesn't worry you. No, absolutely not.
Well, especially doesn't worry me because I'm not going to have a bet.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it's easy to be bullish when when your money's not down on a race, isn't
it? Yeah, take it.
But Long Press winning would be nice. Venetia could do with the tonic. Tom, she's having a torrid time at the moment. But what did you make of the Cotswold Chase?
We've got two of my favourite horses in it, and they're the outsiders of the whole bunch. Both Long Press and Flooring Porter are just two of my favourite horses ever, really, in recent years. I've just really, really, really like the both of them. Venetia's form is obviously a worry, but Ross, you're going to hate me. Yesterday, I spent... Now is the Hour is one of my favourite. You know, I've been writing about Now is the Hour is going to win a big handicap chase on soft ground for probably 2.5 years now.
Yep. I mean, between him and Hot Fuss, Tom, I really did feel for you the past week or so.
I know.
Hot Fuss hurt me as well.
And you sit there and you go, the trainer hasn't... Well, one of my golden rules is forget trainer form.
Yeah.
You know, because you just don't know when it's going to change.
Well, funny, he had because I was covering that card the other day, and he had the first two winners, didn't he? He won the first two races. And then suddenly, it's amazing where the dominoes all fall at the same time.
And I was out, so I didn't know that the first two had gone in. Believe it or not, I had left the house. Oh. Very, very, only for a few hours, honestly. But I'd left the house, and so I didn't know he'd had the first two winners. Came back to watch the race, and it was winning, and I'm throwing things at the telly, thinking, you idiot, you know, you knew it could win a race like this. Got a bit lucky, to be honest. Not a bit lucky, got very lucky. So I'm loath to take on Long Press, because I think he'll love the conditions. I think he'll stay forever. Yeah. I think 9-2 is way too big on what he can do. It's just whether he's going to do it. I mean, they've been running so badly, Venetia's horses, that I just don't know. And I will almost certainly end up having a few quid on him because it'll hurt me if he wins, because I've been with him his whole career. And even when he ran in the Cheltenham Gold Cup that time, he got injured two out. He got struck into two out. No one really knows that when he came fourth. Otherwise, I think he would have been in the three that day as well. Mm. And he's a proper good horse, and he showed he's still got his form back at Cheltenham. So he's the one I really want to win. I do think Spillane's Tower is interesting too, though, because if you go back to the King George of 2 years ago, he was 11-4 favourite, and Grey Dawning was like double the price, times the price.
He was, but Tom, I mean, you more than anyone say, you know, you're having to go back along, you know, if you go back far enough, I'm drinking milk from a bottle, aren't I? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you've been here with Chantry House, you've been here with Coppadano, you've been here with JP horses that have done
true.
In this race. Why come over? Why is Jack Kennedy riding? You know, it's just I could see it happening. I could just see it happening. He's beaten some really good horses, a Grade One winner. Flooring Porter, I don't know why he's in the hurdle rather than this, but...
Well, he's in this because they probably saw the entries and thought... We need to get a run into him. We'll just pick up some prize money.
Absolutely, but he's dual sales hurdle winner too, isn't he? So he's, I don't know. I will end up backing Long Press. I haven't tipped Long Press, but I will end up backing him. I'm hoping he drifts even more.
Yeah.
Because people think Venetia can't win, and then I'm hoping that, you know, like Gavin Cromwell yesterday, the tide turns, because I think he's a better stayer than Grey Dawning on this sort of ground. I do.
Yeah. Okay, Maddie Playle's in the chat. Good evening to you, Maddie. I hope you're well. Says she really fancies Long Press tomorrow. I know he's an old boy, but he's a proper stayer. Loves soft ground. Not sure Grey Dawning wants a real slog. Right, a couple of races to cover then at Cheltenham before we rattle through the rest. We have the international hurdle, of course. Sergino taking on the new Lion, 4-9 and 2-1. Nemean Lion, 50-1. Brentford Hope at 80-1. Lovely top-heavy market there for this this race. But Sugino, 4-9. It will be his first time where he's sort of taken out of his comfort zone here, Tom, in proper soft ground against a proper Grade One hurdle as well, in the shape of the New Lion. Albeit he, of course, has to bounce back after that that funny old race and that fall at Newcastle last time out. But if it is a real test, he's got stamina in abundance. So, yeah, it's an interesting matchup. We don't have ages to talk about it, but what's the headline opinion from you?
Well, I'm not sure he will be taking out of his comfort zone, because I don't think they're going to make the running on the New Lion ever again. The Mian Lion won't make the running. Brentford Hope might go on, but I think Sugino will just doddle out in front and it'll be a bit of a sprint. That's what I think will happen, and I think Sugino will win.
Well, let's hope if he does that, he doesn't bulk at the last like Constitution Hill did in this race last year and give everyone a heart attack. The New Lion on a bit of a recovery mission, Sugino. I mean, there is a possibility that when he comes out of his comfort zone, he's even better than what he showed, isn't there?
Yeah, well, that four-year-old race on Aintree, he found plenty when asked, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it turned out to be a rather good one, didn't it? Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, he did everything wrong. You know, he'd had a year off, he'd been very ill, he did everything wrong in a race, tugged like mad, jumped like a chaser, and he's still absolutely hacked up from the current reigning champion hurdler. I don't see how the New Lion gets near him, to be honest. I don't think he Dan Skelton knows an awful lot more about training and horse than me, and he sees him every single day, but I didn't see a two-miler in him then. I really didn't. I thought he was struggling. I don't think he'd have finished that far ahead of Nemean Lion. He's getting weight from him now, but if they go really slow, then what's he got in him? Might have a couple of quid on Nemean Lion without.
All right, okay, because one of them might, well, the New Lion in particular might blow out.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one to blow out, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
You know, he'll certainly struggle if Sugino can make his own running and not go very fast at all and then just sprint away from him. Right down.
All right, fair enough. And one more to look at Cheltenham then as we move on very quickly to the, there we go, the Cleeve Hurdle. There's the odds. Impose Toir, 5-6. Strong Leader, 4-1. Marchantou, 5-1. Dolly the Great, 15-2. Gal Road, 12s. Camsonas, 33s. And again, Impose Toir versus Strong Leader. Once again, they've met twice already. Impose Toir is 2-0 up against Strong Leader. And he has that enviable combination, Impose Toir, of being able to travel and also find plenty off the bridle.
I think he probably will. I mean, he's just one of those horses. I keep thinking, oh, I can find a reason to beat him. Strong Leader's better off the weights this time, etc. And then he just comes out and he just does just enough to win, doesn't he? He's one of those, he saves a bit for himself, which is a good thing in a staying hurdler, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's it. He just looks after himself and does what he has to do. And, you know, Ollie Murphy has said time and again, Strong Leader doesn't like Cheltenham. He likes flat tracks. So if you expect one of them to be below form, it'd be him. Marchantou did have his form. I backed Marchantou for the Stayers after he won first time out this season, and he blew out completely. But he made hard work of beating Ace of Spades last time. I know Ace of Spades won earlier in the week, but it's still...
He won fairly cosily, Ace of Spades, though. So, I mean, again,
yeah, he did win fairly cosily, but Marchantou is going to need an even bigger jump in form on different ground.
Yeah. It's happened before, though.
It has happened before.
I mean, it happened with Impose Toir.
It has happened before, but Impose Toir is only £8 higher, and he's going that direction too.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So he's, I found it hard to make a case for opposing him. Like, you know, I generally thought the three races that aren't on to ITV are far more interesting than some of the ones that are.
All right, okay. Do you have an interesting opinion on the Cleeve, Tom, or should we get the naps and ask Keels what he... What do you think of the non-TV races and all go home?
I know I have a very... Well, it's not probably interesting to me. It's probably not interesting to anyone else. I fancy Dolly the Great.
Okay.
I like his form at Cheltenham. He obviously won the Per Temps. I like his form at the new course at Cheltenham. And if you go back to that day at Ascot and watch the hurdles, you watch Wilfull's win and you watch Impose Toir's win, there was a massive advantage racing on the rail. All the horses, Wilfull, Hot Fuss... Alexi, they were 1-2-3 behind each other on the inside rail. I think the ground was quicker. It was one of those frosty days, and the same happened in the long walk. They're all on the rail. Donny the Great was stuck out in about lane 20 in the swamp that day. He's slightly better off at the weights. He flew home. He was right on the heels of Potter's Charm. He was beaten less than 10 lengths. I think he's got a chance of at least being second in this race. I think he stays well. I think his form before that, when he was about 2.5 lengths behind him post-Twire at Newbury, I just think Cheltenham's his track, Soft Ground's his track. He just seems in good form that you can take the Ascot run at face value if you want. I think he's miles better than that. And I thought at double figure price he was earlier, I thought that was a pretty good bet against, because I don't fancy Strong Leader, and Marchand too, I'm not convinced will love the ground. So I thought it was a two-horse race between the two. At this stage last year, I think if you'd have asked Nicky Henderson which was the better horse, he'd have told you Donny the Great was the better horse. Now, obviously, Impose Trois has totally changed that with his brilliant season. But heavy ground, Donny the Great for me.
All right, there you go. Donny the Great it is at 15.
And you don't look convinced, and you look quite bored, Ross, with that explanation.
No, I very much enjoyed it. It was such a flawless case for a horse that I have nothing else to add to it. My only thought while you were talking about that, I thought, yeah, but is this not just another crack at the Potemps potentially? But he actually went up a pound for running at Ascot last time out. So you're right. And I looked at it. I agree. I think he's got a big chance.
He might have run in a qualifier anyway, will he?
No, that's true. Yeah, but again, just in the back of my mind, I was thinking, what's the plan here? But maybe this is the plan. Yeah. Great case, Tom. Couldn't agree more.
You won't back him, will you?
No. Well, you know why? Because you've taken the price. You've ruined the price. So that's your fault, mate. That's your fault, unfortunately. Right, okay. We'll get the naps in just a second. But again, thanks for watching the first show of 2026. And again, don't forget that our new sponsor, Boyle Sports, does have the link in the description down in the YouTube stream, where you can bet £10 and get £40 in free bets for all new customers. So get involved in that. And money back is a free bet if your horse finishes second to the Fav at the big meetings this weekend. So click that link and get involved. Right, naps of the weekend then. Doncaster, Cheltenham and beyond. Starting off with you, Sir Paul Keighley.
Yeah, I'm going in the opener with Califay on Vol for Nicky Henderson in the Time Form Novices Handicap Chase. This is, why this isn't on the telly rather than a cross-country race, I do not know. This is the best race of the trials meeting in terms of future performances at the Cheltenham Festival. The last seven winners have finished one, two, one at the Cheltenham Festival.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? Incredible. And there's been a couple more that have been beaten that have won at the Cheltenham Festival. There have been three Hennessy winners in there that have run in it, and that's all in the last 7 years. It's just a great race. It should be on the telly rather than the first race. Anyway, Califay of Vol, absolutely convinced that this has been the plan. He gets in here on a handicap mark of 1.37. Now, two of the horses he beat in the Sydney Banks last year, or the second and third, are both higher than him over fences, one by £12. The two horses that were directly behind him when he was second to the New Lion over hurdles last year are both higher than him over hurdles, and that's because he went straight to a grade one, was back down to 3-1 favourite at Aintree, despite his trainer saying he needs to get his toe in, raced on good ground, got injured. Might not have got home, but he came back with a bad injury.
That's probably why.
So he's late in, he has a couple of looks at Cheltenham, and then he goes handicapping off a mark of 137 when he's a borderline 150 horse in the making, probably.
Well, I'm just looking, even 20 lengths ahead of Western Knight, who won, today off, is it £1 higher than he is, or £1 lower than he is?
I think this has been the plan for us. I think his jumping's okay. I think he wants a test at the trip, which he's going to get now, and I think he's going to grow really well.
All right, again.
Well, and when he won the Sydney Banks, Nicky Henderson, we won this race with Shishkin a few years ago, and hopefully this horse can be in the same sentence as him down the line. So he thought a hell of a lot of him then.
Yeah,
and I think the fact that
the injury threw him off.
I think the injury left him with a handicap mark of 137, and they thought, all right, we can have some fun with this.
Yeah,
the fun starts tomorrow.
And if he does go for that novice chase, of course, we've had a Gold Cup winner, a future Gold Cup winner, come out of that as well. So it might not be too fanciful.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, good cases being made all over the shop. You've just got to win now, haven't they? Tom, what's your nap?
Well, I'm being nice to you, Ross, because my nap originally was the price of peace. Yeah. But because you said you wanted to nap Ruth Jefferson's, I will go for Dartmoor Pirate in the Great Yorkshire. Just hoping he jumps. If he jumps, I think he's got a good chance.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Siegel. You are a wonderful man. Maybe I'll send you a personalised mug after all.
Mug.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll go for Country Co. for Ruth Jefferson in that novice hurdle again. She's mustered with novice hurdlers. The time was very good. The ground will be fine. It will stay every inch of the trip. Fingers crossed. That'll be a... Will be a bad little each way treble. Right.
I like the new graphic, don't you? Look at that.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well
yeah.
done to Boyle Sports and their new sponsorship as well.
Well, I said to Sam last week, I said, you know, the thing is sometimes we speak so much wonderfulness depending on your comments, guff, potentially, throughout the show. We discuss so many things that I think by the end of it, it's nice to go, sorry, what? What was the horse they just fancied again? What did they tip? And I think that, yeah, lovely little graphic there. Hopefully it will bring us good luck, Tom. Right, thanks ever so much, gentlemen. We will see you for more fun and games next week. So we won't see Keels. He'll be having a great time. Over in Ireland. So
wallowing stuff. In Guinness.
Watch out for that. Right.
Won't see me either, I'm told. So it'll be you on your own, Ross.
Oh, all right, fair enough. Better start playing those Punches Down, Leopards Down, Nace, Navan and Fairy House replays back then, shouldn't I? Well, start a week ahead. Okay, join me and Kenny for the other DRF next week. See you then.